This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala ibadihi alladhina istafa wa ba'd. All praise is indeed due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless him and to bless all his companions, those who have struggled and strived to bring this deen to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them all. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the ulama in our midst. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and our offspring, those to come up to the day of Qiyamah. Ameen. Honored ulama, beloved brothers and sisters, dearest listeners, as promised yesterday, this evening inshallah, we will be going through the best story in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls it Ahsan al-Qasas, which means the best of stories. And naturally, it is a beautiful story. And there are so many lessons to be learned from the story that it would take us weeks on end if we were to go through every single verse and extract lessons. But this evening, I'd like to go through the story in brief for the benefit of those who might not know the proper details. And inshallah, extract some of the benefits or some of the lessons that we learn. It starts off with a dream of a young boy known as Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, the most handsome of his time. And naturally, having been granted gifts by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was the 12th of brothers, the 12th of them, the last born. 10 of them were from a different mother, and 2 of them, or himself and one of his brothers, was from another mother. And because his father loved him a lot, and this is something we learn, every child is most loved when they are the young guest. So naturally, when there is someone who's born after you, you should not feel that your parents love them more. When you were on that point, they loved you just as much. But now that there's someone younger, they've taken the position. So this is something a lot of us need to think about. Because many times children feel now the father loves the little one, but you were also the little one. And the one older than you felt the same, but that one was also the little one at one stage and so on. So it's a very good lesson to learn from this particular surah. The reason we say this is because Ya'qub alayhi salam was a prophet. And a prophet would never ever engage in anything less than the perfect upbringing of his own children. And this is something we know because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala selected the messengers very carefully as the best from amongst those who were there. Then, as the other brothers noticed this, they became jealous. And remember one thing, we're now drawing the lesson, jealousy leads to the destruction of oneself. If we plan and plot the downfall of one we are jealous of, take a look at Surah Yusuf, it will only result in our downfall long term. And it will only result in the upliftment of that particular person long term. And spiritually, definitely they will have the upper hand. So there is no room for jealousy in the heart of a Muslim. The hadith says, إِنَّ الْحَسَدَ يَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ النَّارُ الْحَطَبُ. That jealousy eats away the good deeds of a person in the same way that the flame would eat away dry logs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us protection from hasad and from jealousy. So this jealousy led the brothers to plot against the father after a certain incident occurred. What was this incident? The young boy saw a dream. In fact, it led them to plot against their own brother after he saw a dream and he related it to the father. And he told his father, "Oh my father, I have seen 10 stars, the sun and the moon prostrate to me." Naturally, the father was a Nabi. And he knew that this has a very high meaning. Whether he knew the precise meaning or some meaning which was close to the exact interpretation of it, only Allah knows. But he knew that this means that this child will be elevated above all of us as family members. Because naturally, they were, 11 stars. 11, not 10. 11 stars, the sun and the moon. He knows they were 11 of his brothers and his mother and father. But obviously, the father kept it to himself. He didn't relate it to anyone. And he told his young son, "Oh my son, this is the virtue of Allah upon you. Don't relate it to your brothers. What do we learn from this? We don't need to tell our family members everything sometimes. MashaAllah, even if we are very close, it does not mean that we should inform them of every single virtue that Allah has given us. Sometimes you've got to keep certain things to yourself. Some who are very close might be thinking, well, what is he saying? Well, we learn it from Surah Yusuf. The Nabi is telling his own son that, look, my other children are also the children of a Nabi, but don't tell them. Why? Because shaitan is bad. The people might be good, but shaitan, the devil, is bad. He might put in their hearts a certain feeling, that inferiority complex, which will result in that jealousy, and thereafter there will be no end to it. But sadly, the son, you know, young boy, the little one, he went to his brothers and he said, "Do you know what? I seen a dream, subhanallah." And he related it to them, and immediately they began plotting. They said, "Yes, these two, they are more loved by the father than us. Let's plan against them." Very sadly, some of them said, "Let's kill him." Astaghfirullah. Imagine, we learn from this that sometimes even the blood relation plans against one another. How many brothers we have in our own communities who don't speak to each other for the last 10 years, 20 years. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use a night like this to resolve the matter. It is never ever too big to resolve. It's our pride and the fakhr that we have that prevents us from resolving the matter. What is the matter worth? 1,000, 2,000, 20,000, 1,000,000, 2,000,000, 5,000,000? Wallahi, Jannah is far more valuable than that. We can throw that aside. We need to really resolve matters and resolve them fairly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to come together. Ameen. So here the brothers planned to kill the one brother, and he was so good looking, so sweet, mashallah. They said, "Now let's get rid of him." And one of them, it is reported, the eldest of the lot, he had a bit of sense. Remember, these are children of a Nabi. And this, we learn something else from it. That no matter how strong the upbringing is in the home, the devil is very bad. Shaitan can always infiltrate. This is why it's important for us to monitor all aspects of the lives of our children, and still we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it's not in our hands wholly. Look at this, a prophet. Can any one of us pick on Yaqub alayhi salam and say he ignored some of his children or didn't give them the best upbringing? Na'udhu billah. He was a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, one of them, the eldest one, said, "Look, don't kill him. That's a little bit harsh." What do we learn from that? Sometimes within our own enemies, Allah creates one of them who will help us and assist us in a way that we wouldn't imagine. One of them might utter a word or two that will be of benefit to us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the brother said that, "Don't kill him, but just, you know, send him off to a far off land and so on. Get rid of him in another way. Killing is a bit harsh." They planned and they hatched the plan. They went to the father. That father did not used to leave the son. He used to keep him by him all the time. Yusuf alayhi salam was very, very precious. And he didn't allow the son to go on his own. Every time the father would accompany this child. So the brothers hatched a plan. They said, "Oh, our father, you see, we are so many brothers. We are so big, we are so burly, we are so strong. We'd like to take this young man. He needs to learn now what the forest is all about. And he needs to learn about hunting and about whatnot and so on. And let's take him out. We'll enjoy the day out. And we'll have a few little tests here and there. And we'll try and develop some of his skills. And we'll get back in the evening." The father says, "Oh, my children, I fear that a wolf might eat him." Straight to the point. This was a Nabi of Allah. Now, they thought for a moment that that's quite a good plan. Imagine, the plan was derived of the wolf after the father suggested that. So they took part of what he said and they said, "Okay, that's also going to be part of the plan." They said, "Oh, our father, we are so many. How would that be possible? We would be at loss. He's our own brother." This shows us that sometimes we lie to one another. May Allah protect us. Sometimes your children can lie to you. This is why I always say that when your child comes back from the school and gives you a story of what the teacher did, do not believe it. If you believe it, you are at loss. Today the tables have turned. We will not believe the teacher, we will believe the child. If that's the case, what did we learn from Surah Yusuf? What did we learn? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. We are not saying throw away what the child said, but take it, understand it, Go and find out about it in a respectful manner. Get to the bottom of it and always try and give the educators the upper hand. Because that is the way you will learn. Don't we all know that in Islam, you want to learn something, you respect your ustad. Otherwise, you're not going to know anything. The same applies at the schools, the madrasas, wherever it is. If you respect the one who taught you, wallahi, you will know it. If you don't, you stand no chance. There will be no value in what you've learnt. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a lesson. So the children lied to the father. This shows us that our children can lie to us. If the children of a Nabi could lie to a Nabi, who are our kids? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us from falsehood. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard our offspring from falsehood. And may Allah give us the ability to distinguish between when we are being lied to and when we are being told the truth to. So thereafter the father, he said, okay, I've now, bought the story, so to speak, and I'll send him, but be careful. The following day they went, and they came back in the evening minus the child, minus the brother. They had taken him to a pit, and they put him in there, and they sealed it, and they said, now he can end in a nice way. We won't have watched how he died, but he's gone, finished. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us protection. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, young child, innocent little child, they took out his shirt. Imagine, they took his shirt out. They left him shirtless and they dropped him into the pit and closed it. A pit like a well, an empty well. And what happened? They decided to slaughter a little animal and they sprayed the blood onto the shirt and went to the father. The father looked at it and said, who are you hoaxing here? Who are you joking here to? The father says, I know from Allah what you don't know. وَأَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ I know from Allah what you do not know. What did he know? Firstly, he was a Nabi. Secondly, that dream still had to come true. That dream still had to come true. And if this is the case, then only Allah knows what is happening. And Ya'qub alayhi salatu wasalam started to make dua, Ya Allah, return my son to me. Return my son to me. I want to jump towards the end of the story. 40 years, he did not lose hope. He continued making dua, Ya Allah, return my son to me. After some time, Ya Allah, return both my children, all three of my children to me, Ya Allah. There were three who disappeared after some time. He never lost hope for 40 years. A lesson I learn, you learn. We've got little problems. We make a dua. How long? 1 week, 2 weeks. We say we didn't get a response. 1 year, okay. 2 years, 5 years. We didn't get a response. Here is a Nabi of Allah making dua day and night, crying day and night, but he never lost hope. Not one day did he say that I've lost hope. Listen to what he says himself.
إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ
The only people who lose hope in the mercy of Allah are the disbelievers. No matter what problem you have, make dua to Allah. Be convinced that it's going to come. For every dua that you've made, your level in Jannah is being raised. Your level in paradise is being raised, even if you continue suffering till the point of death. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's father began to make a dua. In the meantime, he was in the well. The brothers were gone. I don't know how they could sleep. And the father says, the shirt is not torn, and you're telling me that there's blood on it. If a wolf ate him, then what would happen is the shirt would be torn naturally. So this also shows that when we look at something from a forensic aspect, we will always catch the criminal. There will always be a loophole or two, something that will give them away. The same applies to us. Wherever we have tried to cover up something, there will always be a point or two for those who have sound knowledge to catch. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us protection. So the brothers, they continued in their life. It did not solve the problem they had. Why did they get rid of him? In order to have more attention of the father. This made it worse. The father hardly spoke to any of them anymore. Subhanallah. And this shows us that when we want to solve a problem un-Islamically, it will result in a greater problem and we won't solve the problem we want. So never choose an un-Islamic method of resolving your matter. Some people want wealth, they go and steal. You go and steal, now you can't sleep because the cops are looking for you. And then you've gone to the jail. Allah protect us all. So this is why a lesson we learn from here also is, never ever choose an un-Islamic way of resolving your matter, no matter what. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors. Thereafter, let's take a look at what happened. The little child was in this particular pit and a caravan came passing.
And naturally, with some signs, at that time there were several signs. When they saw birds, they knew there was water and so on. As they got there, they sent the messenger to go and get some water from the pit or from the well. And the messenger put down the bucket. Lo and behold, the bucket was heavy. As the messenger lifted the bucket up, he says, Ya Bushra, hadha ghulam. Oh goodness, this is actually a child. It's a little boy. Subhanallah. They were so happy. Why? They were also criminals. Allah protect us. What type of criminals? Not as bad as killing. Not as bad as their own brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. But they said, we can sell him. We'll receive money. Imagine, this evening, there was news that a gold bracelet was found in the section of the sisters here in this particular venue. And 2 days ago, and one brother came up and gave it and says, I found this whilst I was cleaning or whatever it was, and it's a gold bracelet. And we made an announcement here, and I'm making it again. If anyone has lost a gold bracelet, then they may get hold of the authorities here at this venue, inshallah. That is the way that a Muslim should handle lost property. We give it, and there are blessings. Allah will provide for us much more than the value of that gold in barakah, in blessings, sometimes even in that gold itself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open our doors. Here, they sold a child. And when they sold a child, naturally handsome, good looking, he fetched a good price. But it is known as darahima ma'duda, because it's never ever the true value of that particular child. They were selling a son of a Nabi, who was also destined to be a Nabi. Imagine, they sold him as a slave, a free man, innocent man. And he was bought by a certain man. This man, he had asked his wife, that look, we don't have children, according to one of the narrations, and we can, you know, take him as an adopted child, he can help us at the same time and look after him carefully and so on. But sadly, because of his looks and because of his character and conduct, as he grew, he was a young man. And the wife had a bad eye. She intended immorality against this young man. And she was a very wealthy woman. And it is reported that not only was she a wealthy woman, but she too was a good-looking woman. Subhanallah. May Allah protect us all from evil and immorality. And thereafter, she hatched a plan, but this young man was dedicated, imagine, destined to be a Nabi. Do you think he would engage and fall into anything that was wrong? Nay, he didn't. And this is a lesson for all of us. If we would like to be selected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for barakah, abstain from sin. Seek Allah's forgiveness from sin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from major sin as well as minor sin. And when we do that, subhanallah, this evening we heard powerful verses outside Surah Yusuf as well, where Allah says that the kuffar, what will they get? And those who stayed away from all these luxuries of the dunya that may have been haram for them, what will they get in return? They will get the true luxuries. And they will have everything they want in the akhirah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, young Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he stayed away from that. And as a result, he was imprisoned. Because he did not do what he was instructed to do. He did not commit a sin. And as a result, he was threatened to be imprisoned. That threat did not affect him. And he was imprisoned. And the whole nation was talking, saying, look at what the wife of this leader has been doing. The wife of this Aziz, the wife of the minister. Look at what she has been doing. And in order to clarify her name, she also started the rumor story. And the rumors, none of them were correct. They were all rumors. This is why the word rumor is called a rumor. Because itself it means something that is unauthenticated, completely baseless. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. So after some time, when he arrived in the jail, there were two young men in jail. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was looking forward to go to prison. He was innocent. But he says, Ya Allah, better than the sin is for me to be jailed, what they are threatening me with. Imagine. Subhanallah. And from this we learn that many times there are innocent people in the jails. This is what we learn. You know, a problem we have, and here I'm addressing the prisoners who are also listening to us this evening, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you also every form of goodness. You are also in our minds and in our du'as. And there may be those who are innocent from amongst you. We know that. And my message to everyone here is when people are released from prison, don't treat them as criminals. They've served the sentence. They may have also been innocent and served the sentence just like Yusuf alayhi salam did. That is the message. Because so many times people are released from prison, the way we treat them just because they were there for a few years, as though they are the hugest of criminals, which makes them make a dua, Ya Allah, better take us back to the prison, it was better there. Why? We need to help them to come back into society and to mix with us once again. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist and to grant us all understanding. There are people who might have committed murder out of error, and they probably regretted their whole lives for it. But when they come back, we treat them in such a way that we have rejected them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never reject us. We, in our own little ways, or sometimes in big ways, have also committed sins that we were never caught committing. Besides, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may He free us from His prison. And may He never ever imprison us in Jahannam. So in the same way, we would like Allah to overlook our crimes. We need to learn to overlook. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us all. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam, when he went into the prison, he seized the opportunity. There were two young lads in the same cell. They looked at him. They looked at him and they said, "You look like a person who has a lot of knowledge, wisdom, nur, and so on. We've had some dreams, strange dreams." And from these dreams, they also mentioned the dream. The one says, "Inni arani a'siru khamran." I see myself squeezing wines in my dream. The other one says, "I see a loaf of bread on my head and the birds are pecking from the bread. And we want you to interpret it for us." Take a look at how many dreams are in Surah Yusuf. Many. We first had his own dream. Now we're having two other dreams of two different people in the prison. Then we'll have another dream that is to come. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Look, you've confided in me. Let me seize this opportunity to tell you how Allah has blessed me." And he started making mention of his family and his lineage and how they are prophets and how they only worship one Allah. And he says, "I'm inviting you to worship the same Allah." Imagine da'wah in the prisons. And some people, we know we have the Muslim prison board and so on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them really assistance. And may we all help that cause. It is also a sunnah to engage in that type of da'wah. Because the hearts are the softest when people are serving a sentence. Let's mold them whilst they are soft, rather than wait for them to become hard later on. This is why in the United States of America, the Muslim prison board that is there, I'm not sure exactly what it's called, but it has succeeded in convincing a lot of the inmates of the one Allah that there is, and they've turned to Islam. Including Mike Tyson, confirmed news. He was in Umrah a few weeks ago. Confirmed news. This is not a tale. This is confirmed news. I am speaking with first-hand information. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all goodness. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will drive a person to the prison for one of two reasons. Either to make the da'wah or either to receive it there. Subhanallah. So people, Allah, when He wants hidayah for somebody, He'll take them to a jail, not realizing the sentence was not of essence, but the message that we received was of essence. May Allah open our understanding. So thereafter we notice Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he presented the message. And he then told them, "One of you is going to be released and you will be pouring the wines for the king. And the other one, you're going to be crucified, executed, and what will happen? The birds will peck from your head." And he says, "Qudiya al-amr alladhi fihi tastaftiyan." Before I end, I want to tell you that the matter has been decided. Why did he say the matter has been decided? Because they might come up and say, no, I didn't see the dream. No, I didn't see it. So before you change your mind, whether now you claim to have seen it or not, that matter is decided. That's the meaning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding. And he told the one who was going to be released. He says, look, when you go to the king, and as you're pouring, make mention of an innocent man in the jail. A man who's innocent. I've done nothing. You know that. And this is my lineage. This is what I do. But shaitan made that young man forget. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam spent some time in the prison. Until one day, there was a dream that came to his rescue. By the will of Allah. The king saw a strange dream. He saw seven fat cows eating seven lean cows eating seven other ones. You know, normally it's the other way around. You'll find big animals consuming something that is little. But here the little ones were consuming that which was big. And so on. And there was so much chaos and confusion. And he knew that there is some message in this. So he asked his people and they all told him, it's just a nightmare. It's just a dream. It's something. Just throw it aside. No one knows. Until one day, this young man says, hey, I remember. There's a young innocent person in the prison. Let me go and find out from him. And Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam interpreted the dream to say, you will have 7 years of very good rains, very good grain, very good crop. And after that, you're going to have 7 years of drought. And after that, it will return back to normal. So you need to save up for 7 years that which you will be eating the next 7 years. And when the message went to the king says, call that man, whoever he is, bring him. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, no, I'm not coming. First ask the king a question. Was I innocent or guilty? What's the condition of the women who had accused me and so on? What do we learn from this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give all the innocent an opportunity to cleanse their names. If not in the dunya, then in the akhirah. There will always be a time, if you are innocent and people think you are guilty, a day will come when the eyes will open. A day will come, Allah will give you that day. But it might come after 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, that only Allah knows. But Allah will provide that day. So his name was cleansed. And the women owned up that they were the ones who were guilty. And immediately the king appointed him as a minister. Today we would say minister of agriculture. Imagine from jail all the way to becoming a minister immediately, instantly, few minutes, not even. And they called him Amin. Coming out from jail, they called him the honest, the trustworthy man. There we are. Straight. Imagine what type of criminal law they had. Only Allah knows. So, as they put him and the 7 years came full of lots of crop, he saved up a lot, granaries throughout the Egypt and so on, and he was controlling it personally. And when the drought came, he had the beautiful system of rationing throughout the land. You, all the males who are able, they must come in person. They'll collect their bag and they will pay the amount, which is just a token amount to cover the cost, and they will take their grain, subhanallah. One day, the same brothers who decided to kill him, they walked into the palace. For what? For food. Imagine, they wanted to destroy this person. Allah made them muhtaj of the same person. Made them in need of him. This is why we should never plot the downfall of someone else. One day, we may have to go begging from them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us and grant us understanding. So then when he seen these people, he recognized them immediately, but he had grown a lot. The beard had come out and mashallah, grown, big person. They didn't recognize him. So he asked them, how many are you? They said, we are 11, mother, father, so on. Oh, so how come you are only 10 here? Where's the other one? They said, no, the father doesn't release him. Well, bring him. Next time if you don't bring him, you're getting nothing. Next time if you don't bring him, you're getting nothing. And then he went to his people. He said, look, this one, I will pay for it. Put back all the merchandise into the sacks, send it back. They'll come back with it, you see. So basically, it was his own family. He paid for it, mashallah. He put whatever he wanted into the stores and he gave them. When they went home, they told the father, oh, our father, we have been prohibited the 11th share. We were told to bring the young man himself. So the father says, you want me to trust you the same way I trusted you with Yusuf? Never ever, I won't. But as they opened the sacks, they noticed in the sacks, all the merchandise was there with the grain. They said, oh, our father, look, they didn't take the wealth. We've got to go and give it back. Now they've become honest, you see. You see, difficulty, then it made them honest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted. If they still had their bad habits and qualities, they would have pocketed whatever was there and kept quiet about it. But nay, they were honest. And the father says, okay, I will release. the son on condition that you swear an oath by Allah that you're going to bring him back. Unless all of you are surrounded and you can't come. They gave him the oath. They said, oh, our father, we've got no evil intention here. So the father says, oh, my children, you know, you are 11 handsome men, good looking, you all strong. You're going to walk into this hall with all of you 11 one time. Maybe the evil eye might affect you. So rather, you walk two at a time, two from this gate, two from the other gate, two from the other gate, so that they don't recognize that you are all one family. Huge, large number of people. Subhanallah. Imagine if we today had to see 11 similar looking brothers walking in together, all looking well and healthy and mashallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the acceptance to say mashallah whenever we see something good. So anyway, they followed the father's instruction and they entered from different entrances. And what happened is, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam recognized every one of them. Because these are the brothers. He was waiting for his blood brother, Binyamin. He called him aside and he says, listen, I am Yusuf. What? You're Yusuf? Yes. Now we're hatching a plan here, so you just go with it. Go with the flow. So he pretended like he didn't know anything and he carried on. And he was amazed. Amazed that, hey, my brother, he is literally the minister of agriculture here, in charge of absolutely all the grain here. And this is the same one that we're still sitting there in the desert. And we're still in our little home, mashallah. Look where Allah put him. But the brother didn't say a word. And they decided that the cup, the gold cup of the king, was to be put in the sack belonging to this brother. And as they left with all their provisions, a caller called, أَيَّتُهَا الْعِيرُ إِنَّكُمْ لَسَارِقُونَ. Hey, caravan, you people are thieves. What did you lose? How can you call us thieves? So, they said, we lost the mug or the cup, the utensil that is used by the king, it's a gold one, and we lost it. They said, look, we are not thieves. We came here to get our provisions. And so, what is the punishment of the one who is caught if it is from amongst you? They said, take him away, keep him, enslave him, he can be your slave. They were convinced there was nothing. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam began to search, mashallah, began to search. He searched all of theirs before he came to the last one. And they were happy. They started packing and they were about to go. Suddenly it came out. It came out from the last one. It says, right, here you are. They arrested the man. Now the other 10 are looking in shock. Hey, but we told our father. So the others are saying, no, but he's a thief. He must pay for it now. He stole. They don't know. So some of them responded saying, look, this one is a thief. And his brother was a thief before him also. The same thing happened. Yusuf alayhi salam, he kept it in himself. But inside himself, he said, only I know what's going on here. You people don't know. I know better. And amazingly, and this is why sometimes we should not underestimate the knowledge of a person. When you're trying to deceive someone, they might know a little bit more than you think they know. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, right, this man, we are going to keep him here, the rest of you can go. At that point, they had a meeting, the brothers. And they said, oh, king, you know, we want to really, and you, the minister, we want to plead with you. This, inna lahu aban shaykhan kabira. You know, this young man has a father who's an old man, very old man. فَخُذْ أَحَدَنَا مَكَانَهُ. Take any one of us in his place. Yusuf alayhi salam says, ma'ad Allah, nay, it's impossible. How are we going to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? If we take someone who's not a criminal on behalf of a person who's a criminal. Imagine if we had a 20-year sentence and everyone says, all right, we have 10 brothers, let's go 2 years each. And that doesn't help. So they kept this brother. Now the eldest brother decided, I can't face my father. How am I going to face my father? The father told us, don't come back. And we took a qasam that we're going to bring him back. Don't come back if you are not all together. So the brother says, you people can go. Tell him that this young boy was a thief and that's it. And if they want to ask, they can ask the people who were with us, who witnessed everything and we're telling the truth. When they went back, the father asked, where's the young man? No, he was a thief and so on. You can ask everyone. The father says, أَعْلَمُ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. I know from Allah what you don't know. Now there were three who were gone. Yusuf, his brother, and the eldest one also didn't return. Because he didn't know what face to show. Now the father says, Ya bani yadhhabu fatahassasu min Yusuf wa akhi. Oh my children, go and look for Yusuf and his brother and never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. They said, you know, Yusuf is dead, history. The brother maybe we can see. Yusuf, there's no hope, nothing at all. The father was crying every day to the degree that he lost his eyesight. He lost his eyesight, but he didn't lose hope. And he was crying and crying, making dua, Ya Allah, you are my Rabb, you know, Ya Allah, you've blessed me with so much, Ya Allah. This shows the bond of the parent and the child. Until the children went in and they said, Oh, minister, we want to tell you what's happened, the condition of our home. The father's lost his sight. This is what has happened. They are crying, have mercy on us. Send that brother with us. Now Yusuf alayhi salam said, Now it's enough. Let me tell them. So he asked them a question. He says, Do you know what you have done to Yusuf and his brother when you were ignorant? In your period of ignorance, what did you do to him? They were shocked. Because Yusuf's story, no one knew it. Nobody knew it. Nobody. They looked at him. Now they started thinking. The puzzle started fitting in. أَإِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ يُوسُفُ. Is there any chance that you are Yusuf? أَنَا يُوسُفُ وَهَذَا أَخِي. Indeed, I am Yusuf. And this is my brother. Subhanallah. You can imagine the tears of joy and of sadness at the same time. Joy because they were reunited. Sadness because the plot that they had plotted years back had flopped completely in a disgraceful manner for them. So they were sad that we are now, you know, exposed. But it did not deter them. They let the happiness overcome the sadness by seeking forgiveness. And this is what we need to learn. It is something, there are two things we will learn here at this juncture. The first is, never ever be too proud to say I am sorry. Never. Never ever be proud to say I am sorry. That word, I am terribly sorry, might solve a mountain of a problem. Wallahi. That is a lesson we learn from Surah Yusuf. And let's continue further. Yusuf alayhi salam, in an instant, he says, La tathriba alaykum, no sin upon you. I'm holding no grudge upon you at all. Don't worry. There is, you don't even have to say, forgive me. I am holding nothing against you. This was Allah's plan. Subhanallah. How many of us, if people had planned to kill us, and people had planned our downfall to that degree, and we were separated from the most beloved, we looking for our parents looking for us, years down the line, and we are prepared to say, I forgive you completely without an iota of negativity in my heart. That is why Allah says we elevated the story of Yusuf and Yusuf alayhi salam himself. Who was he? He was a Nabi, son of a Nabi, son of a Nabi and son of a Khalil. Khalil is also a Nabi, Ibrahim alayhi salam. That is who Yusuf alayhi salam was. He had one of the most powerful lineages of all time. Subhanallah. So Yusuf alayhi salam says, I forgive you, but you know what? Take my shirt and cast it on the face of our father so his sight can come back. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that telepathy, or we can call it inspiration from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Yaqub alayhi salam felt that there is some scent of Yusuf coming. He had lost his sight. Now those who have lost their sight, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enhances the other senses to the degree that they can feel better, they can smell better, they can hear better and so on. So out of the senses, when one is not there, the others become sharp. We learn it from this particular surah as well. So when he smelled the scent of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he told the people around him, I can smell Yusuf. They said, no, dalalik al-qadim. This is a long time ago. You're now just remembering things of the past and it's leading you astray. But hey, lo and behold, when the caravan came, they rushed to their father. They cast the shirt. His eyesight returned. Oh, our father, forgive us, forgive us, forgive us. What happened? Tell me what happened. Oh, our father, forgive us. He says, I will ask Allah to forgive you. What does that mean? I don't hold anything against you. Between me and you, it's clean. But Allah must forgive you for the crime you've committed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a lesson from the hearts of the anbiya. The hadith says, مَنْ تَقَمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لِنَفْسِهِ قَطُّ إِلَّا إِذَا انْتَهَكَتْ أَوْ إِذَا انْتُهِكَتْ مَحَارِمُ اللَّهِ فَيَنْتَقِمُ لِلَّهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself never ever sought revenge because of something that happened to himself. But when Allah and the deen was being attacked, then he sought it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a lesson. So Ya'qub alayhi salatu wa salam says, oh my children, don't worry. Forgiven on my side, nothing, but Allah forgive you. And then they went to Egypt and the son says, udkhulu misra insha'allahu aminin. Enter this beautiful city. Inshallah, you will be secure and safe here. And naturally, they fell prostrate to Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. They fell prostrate to Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam. And what were they going to say? He raised his hands and he made a dua. He says, oh Allah, this whole plan that you had was in order to raise me. Subhanallah. So sometimes when one negative thing happens in our lives, we become depressed, not realizing through that plan Allah wants to elevate us. The second negative thing, the third negative thing, the fourth negative thing, in sequence. By now, us, we would have said someone has done something to us. Someone did this and that and run from this amil to that amil. And from that ta'weed to the other one. And from this to that. Without realizing it's Allah's plan. Allah wants something good for you. Long term, if not now, 40 years later. But it's in the store. Be patient, persevere, continue. So Yusuf alayhi salam made a dua. Ya Allah, Ya Allah. After shaitan had tackled my brothers and created a split between us, Ya Allah, you united us in such a beautiful manner. Had it not been, subhanallah, for them having dropped him into the pit, where was he going to be on that day? So through the pit, he arrived in the palace. Do we realize this? Sometimes your factory burns down because Allah wants to give you a castle in return. Sometimes there is a robbery at your home. May Allah protect us all. And they've stolen everything because Allah wants to empty your coffers to give you something brand new. Sometimes you go through the meaning you have to suffer the death of a close one because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to grant you even better in return and something grand and great. Sometimes your doors open after a loss. May Allah grant us understanding. So this dua was made by Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And naturally the story ends. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. These stories are not fabricated. In these stories, there are lessons for those with intellect. So many lessons. Obviously, we've just been through very few of them. I see everybody is sitting, mashallah, listening to the story. Believe me, we've only touched on some of the points within Surah Yusuf. It is a powerful surah. We have a lot to learn. What a beautiful story it makes. And how powerful the lessons are that we derive from Surah Yusuf. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us understanding until we meet again. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.